All right, so let's crack on. So today, oh, where's my little thing? Today we're going to continue looking at dynamic Bayesian networks. Now, if you remember, there were several kinds of inference that one might want to do with a Bayesian network. Yesterday, we looked at filtering, which is where you want to compute the value of a current hidden state given all the evidence you've gathered up till now. Okay? And I showed that this you could compute with the product of three things: the probabilities given by the sensor model, this, the transition model, and the recursive bit, which is this for k minus 1. Where you are summing or marginalizing out your k minus 1, okay? So that equals that, okay? That's what we saw yesterday. What we're going to do today is, oh my God, that's really frightening. What we're going to do today is look at the other forms of inference. So for example, if I've gathered 1,000 pieces of evidence, I might want to review what I thought the hidden state was at time step 500, okay? Taking into account the evidence not only going up to time step 500, but the evidence going from 501 to 1,000. Another thing I might want to do is work out, given the sequence of evidence that I've gathered in my sequence of time steps, my 1,000 pieces of evidence, what is the 1,000 most likely sequence of states that would have generated that evidence? Okay, so that's what we're going to look at today. And this should come with a health warning, because the maths gets hairy. But I hope conceptually it's simple. All right, so the first thing is what Russell and Norvig called smoothing, but I think smoothing's a bad word. I really think it should be called hindsight. That's where you're interested in the value of a hidden state in your dynamic Bayesian network. So, for example, whether it was raining or not on Wednesday, given that every day of the week, including Thursday and Friday, that came after Wednesday, the director came in with an umbrella. Okay? So, how do we calculate that? Well, this is what we can do, this is the thing we want to calculate, and we can split up that evidence variable into a sort of combination of two sequences of evidence, one going from time step one up to k, and the other going from k plus one to t, right? I mean, together, that sequence of two things equals that one thing, sequence of one things. And given that this is in fact equal to that, you may wonder why. Well, okay, shall I show you why? Basically, you take the joint probability so P of XK given this split is some normalizing factor times the joint probability. Okay, you with me so far? So now what I'm going to do is use the product rule to make it into a product of probabilities. Is this the right way around? Yes. Actually, no. I'll do it this way. Okay, this I can change again using the product rule to this. But this is just a number, it's fixed. So I can factor that into the normalization. Okay? Are you with me on that? Okay, so that's just Bayes' rule. But I've lost my thing. This sequence of evidence variables is independent of the prior evidence variables, right? All these guys are not directly connected to the prior evidence variables, so I can get rid of him to create this. Now, this is that filtering thing we had before, okay? So this is like the forward message. This is the probability that xk has its value given the evidence up to k. This is, if you like, the backwards message. This is the chances that that xk would have generated the subsequent evidence, sequence of evidence variables. So we have a forward message and a backward message, okay? That's what this is saying, all right? The backward message is, given this xk that I'm thinking about, what are the chances that the evidence subsequent to that XK would have been what I observed? Okay? So now what we have to worry about is how to compute that backward message, right? So smoothing is basically what you're doing to work out this probability is you're trading off the forward message that evidence gives you up to the current state with the backward message that subsequent evidence gives you about the current state. It's the product basically being the trade-off between the forward message and the backward message. We've seen how to do the forward message. It was that recursive thing involving the sensor model, the transition from the prior state, and the prior forward message, right, to k minus 1. Now what we're worried about is how to compute this thing, in other words, this thing. All right, so to next slide. It, in fact, is this, all right? And the interesting thing about this backward message is that, once again, it is a product of three things where you're summing over the next state as opposed to the prior state, as you do with the filtering. The three things again being the sensor model, the prior, the transition model for, to the next state from the current state, and the recursive bit, right? This is the backwards message for the next state. This guy, yeah? This is for K, this is for K plus one, the same message, okay? Now, what I want to show you now is that this equation holds. So it means that when you're smoothing, it's still all recursive, but you're heading towards that state xk from both directions, like that. Okay? All right, so let's do this bit. I'm going to need my notes for this so I don't make a mistake and confuse you even further. Right, so the probability of ek plus 1 up to t given xk, right? That's what we want to turn into this sum of simpler probabilities, these things we can compute, okay? Because eventually that recursive bit will bottom out at just a product of sensor and transition probabilities, okay? Right, so it is, by the product rule, equal to the joint probability of my sequence of evidence and xk over xk. Okay, that's just the product rule. Now, I'm going to sum over the next states, xk plus 1. Okay, so now what I'm doing is I'm basically saying I'm going to compute the probability mass assigned to this joint probability by thinking about, by summing over the this probability, joint probability, for every possible value of xk plus 1. Right? That's just marginalization. Now, what I'm going to do with that joint probability is turn it via Bayes' rule into a sequence of conditional probabilities. Oh, I should. Okay. Okay, are you with me so far? All I've done is turn. I've used Bayes' rule to make xk and xk plus 1 a condition and made a product with the joint probability of that condition, okay? That's just an application of the product rule again. But I can now simplify this, right? Again, by an application of the joint probability of the product rule. Okay, whoops. Okay, all I've done is change this joint probability into a product of conditional probabilities, right? That's the product rule. But now, just sheer algebra tells me I've got a probability of xk at the top, a probability of xk at the bottom. I can get rid of both of them. Okay? And this sequence of evidence things are independent of xk, given that I've got xk plus 1 here. Okay? Oh no, I don't, what am I doing? Sorry, rubbish. Forget what I said there. I'm going mad. Right, okay, now what I'm going to do is split this sequence. Okay, I've split, all I've done is split the k plus 1 to t into ek plus 1 and k plus 2 to t. Okay? And now, I'm going to use the product rule. To deal with the this guy, so I'll do e k plus 1 given x k plus 1 x k. So this is just Bayes' rule, e k plus 2 to t given x k plus 1 x k. Okay. Plus this at the end. Okay, that's conditional independence. Now, ek plus 1 is independent of xk given this, so I can get rid of him. And you're done. This is the sensor model. This is the transition model. And this... And this, yes, is conditionally independent, given that, right? Because this state, whatever the probability of xk is being passed to xk plus 1, so I can get rid of him. And that's the recursive bit. There's the sensor bit, and there's the transition bit. It's the formula I've got up there, okay? So just as with the forward message, you can calculate what the probability is for a current state given evidence up until now, recursively. You can go backwards as well over the network and think about what the current, what the prior, if you like, what xk would be given the k plus 1 to t evidence that you've gathered. Okay? And it's the same sort of product of stuff. You're factoring, you're updating with the sensor and the transitions on the prior backward message, okay? Just as you do with the forward message. So all a bit abstract, let's go back to our example and let's think about what the value would of rain would be in state one, given that it rained, that the guy came in with his umbrella, not just on day one, but day two as well. Okay, now according to that formula we had earlier, this is the backward message, right? This is the probability of R1 given the evidence up until 1. This is the backward message. This is the chances that that value of R1 would have generated the bit of evidence we saw the next day, U2, okay? So here's the forward message, here's the backward message. So I calculated this yesterday, but let's remind ourselves of what it was. It's basically, you first calculate the prior probability of R1 by marginalizing over R0. And so that's just a product of transitions. That gives you 0.5, 0.5, and you update it with the evidence of R1, right? So this is the prior forward message, and this is the update with U1. So which equals this by Bayes, and you just read that off the sensor model and you get this number. Okay? Now what about this backward message? Okay, I want to calculate this now. Well, plugging into that formula I had earlier, okay, which is this guy, if we're plugging U2 given R1 into here, then we're going to sum over R2, and we're interested in the probability of U2 given R2, sorry, U1 given, oh, what are we interested in? U2 given R2, this will be nothing because we don't have any evidence. So we're going to make that 1 because we don't have a U3. So I just make this probability 1. And the probability of R2 given R1. So that's what this is, right? U2 given R2, the probability of nothing happening because we haven't reached day 3 yet, given R2, and I'm just going to assign that a probability 1, and R2, the probability of R2 given R1, okay? So that's the backward message that we've got to calculate and then multiply it with the forward message. And the U2 given R2, we can just read off the sensor model for every value of R2. So when R2 is positive, U2 given R2 is 0.9, and this probability distribution, R2 given R1, is 0.7, 0.3. In other words, when R2, the probability of rain, given it was raining on the prior day, is 0.7. The probability of rain, given it was not raining at R1, is 0.3. We sum that with the negative, the R2 being negative case, which is this thing, and this is what you get out. So when you plug these things into this great big product, what you get, here's this thing being plugged in. This is the forward message being plugged in. That's the forward message. Here's the backward message and the normalization constant. And it works out to be this. So it means that the chances of rain on Tuesday has increased based on the fact that there was an umbrella the next day on Wednesday, okay? It is higher now than it was based just on the umbrella on Tuesday. By having an umbrella on Wednesday as well, our confidence that it was raining yesterday goes up, okay? A little bit. And that's because umbrella is good evidence for rain. And the fact that if it was raining yesterday, chances it's raining today. That's what's making this go up, okay? So basically, you calculate recursively in both directions, multiplying with the sensor and transition every time you do that incremental step towards the state you're interested in. All right, so that's smoothing. Now, finding the most likely sequence is actually a lot like smoothing, you'll be unhappy to hear, except we don't sum. All right, why not? Well, here's the problem. Here's the finding most likely sequence. This is the query we're interested in. Suppose the director came in with an umbrella on Monday and Tuesday, didn't on Wednesday, and did on Thursday and Friday. What I'm interested in is what was the most likely sequence of rain states. In other words, I want to know not just whether it rained on Wednesday, I want to know what the most likely sequence is of rain on Monday, rain on Tuesday, rain on Wednesday, rain on Thursday, rain on Friday. Okay, what's the most likely sequence? Now, you might think, oh well, what you've got to do for that is use all that evidence and smoothing to get your most likely state for Monday. Use all this evidence via smoothing to get the most likely state for Tuesday. Use all this evidence via smoothing to get the most likely state for Wednesday, and so on, and that's your answer. But it's not your answer because you will be assigning way too much probability mass to that sequence. And the reason is that when you're calculating, when you're doing smoothing, you are summing over all the surrounding states, right? You're summing them out, which means that every value, every possible value of the surrounding states to XK, say to Wednesday, to the Wednesday rain, I'm summing over all the possible values of rain on Tuesday and all the possible values of rain on Thursday. What that means is that even when there's no rain on Tuesday, it gives a little bit of mass to rain on Wednesday. When there's rain on Tuesday, it also gives a little bit of mass to rain on Wednesday. And so on, and the same for Thursday, right? And I'm summing over that to get the total probability mass for the rain on Wednesday. But when I'm after the most likely sequence, I shouldn't do that. I shouldn't be summing over all the possible values of all the surrounding states to get my most likely state here. Because I've got to fix the value of the surrounding states and stick with it, okay? And not sum over the other values that I'm not saying it was, right? So you just would end up, well, not with a probability distribution. It would be more than one to sum over all the possible sequences, the possible sequences that way. So you won't be surprised then to hear we're not going to be summing, right? We're not going to be doing this sum. Instead, you replace that sum with argmax, right? When I'm looking at the next state, what I'm interested in is this calculation when this is maximized, right? When this message here for the prior state is maximal in according to this calculation, right? So instead of summing to get the most likely sequence, you argmax it, okay? All right, so with that in mind, let's look at this umbrella example. Okay, so here is all the possible values of rain on my 5 days. True, false, true, false, true, false. I want to find the most likely sequence of arrows going through here. Okay, it turns out when you work out the message, I'm going to give you in a little bit, the calculation, the chances of the probabilities you assigned to each of these tables are the things in here. And these bold arrows give you the prior state that contributes to this computation, this calculation. In other words, when you're calculating what the most likely next state is, you are comparing this calculation of these three probabilities for every value of xk plus 1. And whichever value of xk plus 1 makes the product of these probabilities, three probabilities, the biggest, that is your xk plus 1, whoops, that you put a bold arrow back to. Now, if you notice, the bold arrow can go back to a state whose probability at that point might be less. Do we have that anywhere? Then the probability at that state, do we have that anywhere? No, we don't actually in this one, unfortunately. Okay, but it's possible that that happens. In other words, if the transition from the most probable state here to the next state is so, so unlikely given the transition model, it may pick a less probable state. You know, not the maximal number in here, right? So these arrows, this arrow may have gone to here. It's possible in principle, okay? It doesn't for this example. All right, so this is how you do it then. So finding the most likely sequence, I'm trying to find the maximal sequence x1 to xt, basically, of this probability. Right, what I'm trying to do to get the probability of the most likely sequence is assume I've got the most likely sequence up till the prior state. What's the probability that the next state would xt plus 1 would be a particular value, and ultimately I'll take the maximal one of those, right? So this we know how to do already because this is basically smoothing, or in fact filtering in this case, right? It's filtering. So we can do that. All this is doing is replacing the sums with the maxes, right? So if you like, I can go through this equation. You want me to go through it and show you how you get from here to here? Hands up, yes. No, it's horrible Friday afternoon, isn't it? Hands up, no. Yeah, okay, I won't. Take my word for it, okay? So it's like filtering, only that the forward message is now being replaced by this maxed thing as opposed to the summing thing, okay? Now, it means that you can decode this dynamic Bayesian network using dynamic programming, using the Viterbi algorithm, because you just start at X1, work out the message for that, and so it's like, it would be like doing this, right? It would be like populating this table. I just make a table, okay? Looks like that. So this is umbrella 1, umbrella 2, umbrella 3, umbrella 4, umbrella 5. Right, along the bottom, I'm putting my evidence variables. And this is giving the state. So this would be not rain, and this would be rain. So what I'm going to fill this with is the probability of not rain given U1. Okay, this would be the probability of rain given U1. So that's the, you get with the filtering. Okay, this is the probability of not rain, so basically the Viterbi of this, V2, not R, is the probability of not rain in this second state, assuming that you maximize, maximize that triple product that you had, that you fix the value of the prior state so that this gets maximized. Okay? So it's too difficult to work out now, but basically with the decoding, what you do is you start at the left and you work out these probabilities. So suppose this was 0.8 and this was 0.2. You then think about what this would be if the prior state was set to not R, right, with the product of these three probabilities. Where is it? Right, so forget the sum. What I'm interested in, or in fact, where are we? Okay, so I look at, I'll do it here. Right, so what I want to do is look at this probability thing. So I look at, what I'm looking at here is I work out this, the product of those three things, when the prior state is not R, and when the prior state is R. So I'm basically, that just changes the transition value and the value of this, and the sensor stays the same. Whichever one is maximal, that's what I fill in here, right? So suppose it was 0.9, and I got that value by fixing the prior state to being not R. Then I will put a back pointer to not R. Okay, it's going boom, like that. And perhaps this one was 0.1 with a back pointer to 0.r as well. Okay, to not r as well. And you keep going along, and whatever way, once you're here and you've populated these guys, you start at the highest probability and you use the arrows to determine the sequence that got you there. Okay, that's just dynamic programming. All right, and it basically what it's exploiting is that to find the optimal sequence, if you know the optimal sequence up to a specific time point, then you don't have to recalculate it again from start. You can just go from there and work out the optimal sequence from there. Okay, so that's what's happening here. That's how these things got populated, was via populating this kind of table. And in the end, for the rain being true, we got 0.0210. For rain being false in that day 5, we got 0.0204. Since this is the bigger guy, we start here, and these bold arrows are showing the value of the prior state that you had to use to calculate to get this number out of that product of three probabilities. So you just follow those bold arrows back. So in other words, the most likely sequence was rain, rain, not rain, rain, rain. Okay? So that's what's going on there. So this is what's known as the Viterbi algorithm. If you, when you guys get into honors and you start doing machine learning and reasoning generally, you are going to find hidden Markov models, which is a simple form of dynamic Bayesian network, everywhere. And decoding a hidden Markov model, as well as learning a hidden Markov model from training data, all involve this. This is something you've got to nail, okay? For if you're ever going to do anything involving reasoning, which in computer science you can't avoid, okay? Right, so hidden Markov models. Hidden Markov models are a special case of dynamic Bayesian network in that you assume you've got only one hidden state, okay? Just one hidden variable. And so in fact, this umbrella and rain example we've been using is a hidden Markov model because there's only one hidden variable, namely rain. Now, you might think, how useless, because most domains have many more hidden variables than that. But actually, you can approximate them by merging all those hidden variables into like a big mega variable. So if you have, say, 2 Boolean hidden variables, I can merge them into one variable that takes 4 values. Yeah? If you have 3, I can merge it into one variable that takes 8 values, and so on. Okay? So you just merge them in as much as you can. But the structure of the hidden Markov models is very simple and elegant. It's a really elegant way of specifying the problem, because basically you can encode the transition models and the matrix and the sensor models as a matrix. And then the algorithms simply involve matrix multiplication and addition. So you just sort of boom, boom, boom through it. That's what MATLAB's doing, okay? So I'm not going to show you the matrices, but you will go through an example where you're manipulating a matrix, a hidden Markov model, where the transition models and sensor models are given as a matrix, working out filtering queries. In next week's tutorial. All right, for those of you who are getting next week's tutorial, those of you on Thursdays, you need to find out from your tutor if it's happening. If you've got a student, it's happening. If you've got a member of staff, it may not be, okay, because of the strike. All right, so to sum up what we've done today, we've done the forward-backward algorithm, right? So first of all, we did smoothing, which is where you're getting a forward message from prior evidence to estimate the current state, and a backward message coming from subsequent evidence to tell you about the current state. And it's that formula, so it's you're summing when you're doing smoothing or hindsight. You're doing argmax when you're trying to find the most likely sequence using Viterbi, this dynamic programming, to decode it. Okay, to decode the most likely sequence. We talked very little about HMMs. They're basically special cases of dynamic Bayesian networks where you've got just one hidden variable. And they are really used everywhere, everywhere. I mean, in my field, in NLP, hidden Markov models are used in speech recognition, speech synthesis, machine translation, part of speech tagging, parsing, dialogue act recognition. I could go on. I mean, they really are used everywhere. So you will be seeing these again and again in years 3 and 4 of your degree. So next time, we're going to look a little bit more at dynamic Bayesian networks at a few more examples, okay, just so that we can get used to it, because I appreciate the maths is getting hairy. So we'll go through some examples. Okay, any questions? Okay, thanks very much. See you next week.
I got a good book for probability. I can't remember the authors off the top of my head. So mail me and I'll give you the answer.